Welcome back to the Charlotte Angel Connection, the Charlotte area podcast linking entrepreneurs, investors, and the broader Charlotte community. Our goal is to interview the individuals who are building, shaping, and influencing entrepreneurship in the Charlotte region so you can stay invested in Charlotte's growth. As you may remember, we are continuing our interview this week with Kuru co-founders David Potter and Ab Kapoor. Last week, we learned about their decision to leave the University of Maryland at College Park to come to the QC FinTech Incubator Program and pursue their startup. We learned that they have clear vision to focus on the task at hand, and also the mentorship program at QC FinTech has been tremendous. I don't think that's much of a surprise to any of our listeners, but it's great feedback to hear from a neat startup and fast-growing startup. This week, we're going to turn our attention more to Kuru. What does it do? How does it make money? How does it work? What's the specific focus of each co-founder currently? Why Midwood Smokehouse may single-handedly keep this co-founder tandem in Charlotte? We'll also learn the eventual target market will be millennials, but the first target market is very specific, 18 to 25-year-olds. Why that's the case? And many other things in our conversation today. We'll talk in a little while after the interview. Next week, we've got a great lineup with a couple more co-founders from QC FinTech. Once again, it will be a two-part series. I'll give you a little bit more details with that after our interview with Kuru co-founders David and Ab.
So let's talk about the company a little bit. So, you know, we've talked about the program that you're part of that's helping you develop the company. But you've mentioned a little bit you had credit troubles a year ago today. As I understand it, it was exactly a day. No, I'm just kidding. So tell us a little bit about what it is and what problem does it solve?
Yes. So, like I mentioned, this all started because we had poor credit scores, we barely even understood credit, to the point where it crippled our life. And when we did not get approved for housing, we asked our parents, you know, if they could co-sign for us. They couldn't because their scores were too low as well. They didn't understand credit. We asked our friends. They didn't understand credit. So we knew there was a large problem here. You know, millennials don't understand credit, and they don't know how to improve their credit score. So that's something that we can't stand, a pain we personally faced, and that's the problem that Kuru is solving. So Kuru, your credit guru, is an app that automates credit improvement and gamifies it. So we call it a robo-advisor for credit. If you're familiar with apps like Acorns that allow you to invest without studying the markets, that's what Kuru does for your credit score. So it improves your credit score without you needing to be a credit expert. It's looking to maximize your credit score.
Okay.
And the way that it does this is through, there's a package of things being automated in the background that ultimately the user, I mean, we don't plan to super advertise the features, but to talk on some of what it really delivers is, rather than being a simple bill pay, it considers your credit and debit balances. So the reality for most people isn't just paying off your bills in full, it's figuring out what is the best amount for me to pay off.
Yeah.
And Kuru gives you a recommendation on what to pay off for that, or it will automate that for you.
Okay.
It rebalances credit limits, so credit utilization is a big aspect of your credit score.
Yeah.
And ultimately, that goes into, you don't want to be overspending. You don't want to spend a large amount of your credit limit. So it will look to extend your credit limit so that way you can be sure you're spending in a safe margin.
Mm-hmm.
Or it'll recommend the card to spend your money on. So if you have high utilization on one card, it's going to be recommending to spend on card X, card Y, or card Z. And also automatically disputing credit report errors. So not often is someone inspecting their credit report day in and day out.
Yeah.
But one out of every four credit reports has an error on it today. So This will automatically dispute those. So the moment you get on, you can make sure that you're in the strongest financial health, and it continues to do this for you. So it's like having a credit expert, a credit advisor, a credit guru in your pocket.
Okay.
As we were establishing the concept for our idea or the solution that we were trying to create, we kind of went through a bunch of different pivots as we were going through a lot of different customer interviews and tests and processes. And what we realized is, as a lot of people will be able to agree with, is millennials really just don't care about credit. And, you know, when asking people around, you know, the University of Maryland, College Park. We actually, Dave and I stayed in an Airbnb RV in Silicon Valley for a month just because we wanted to see what that environment was like. And a lot of the days that were spent there were just doing customer interviews and talking to people about their experiences with credit and if they would use a solution like this. And we realized that what really turns people off about credit, particularly people that don't have any credit, is the lack of knowledge on how to understand or to build it. And so what happens is they inevitably push getting a credit card or getting a loan or trying to focus on building credit back because they just don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And so our solution and what the way that we target that is you still just don't need to worry about your credit. You can understand that every single day if there is a best action for you to be taking that will improve your credit score, Crew will let you know what that is. And in most cases, automate that action for you.
Awesome. So initially, target market, millennials, I don't even know what millennials is. Is it 18 to 25? Is it 25 to 35? What's your target age group, and how are you reaching them?
So millennials. We are focusing on people aged 18 to 25. The larger group, of course, is 18 to 35, but really what we're capturing in our initial market is this delayed opening for establishing credit, because we understand this pain. I mean, honestly, I didn't even have a credit card when I first applied for housing, so of course I didn't get approved. I had to open up a card and figure out the rest thereafter. And then when I was talking about credit utilization, if I would have put my rent on my credit card, it would have lowered my score each and every month because I would have been using a high margin or a high utilization of my credit.
Yeah.
So there are just many counterintuitive things like this that's hidden in shrouds. It's a very opaque system, so it's really against the consumer. So who we're targeting are people aged 18 to 25 initially, and this is because they struggle establishing and understanding credit, so this is the best platform for them to get started and build off great habits, become reliable spenders in accordance with this larger credit system. And to add on to that, someone who is in this earlier establishing like credit range, right? I mean, if you're 25, you only could have made but so many mistakes. So even if you already have a credit card, I mean, you might have missed 1, 5, 8 payments that would completely destroy your credit score because factors like your age of your credit history, your payment history, your credit utilization. So like you could have made small mistakes. You could have just been overspending on your card without knowing that was hurting it, but that's going to plummet your credit score. You're either going to end up paying a ton extra in interest or not get approved at all.
Yeah.
And what Crew does, rather than this being an accumulation of 30 years of not paying, these are smudges that Crew can easily wipe off and knows how to get you back there. So within months, your credit score is going to be in tip-top shape and you're going to be confident, have credit confidence that you're going to get approved.
Yeah, and riding off of that, so targeting a younger demographic, a lot of the mistakes they'll be making or have made already are smudges that are easily fixable compared to targeting an older demographic, let's say 40 years old, that has car loans, mortgages, all of the other different lines of credit.
Yeah.
And so we do plan on extending this product because we understand the use of a credit robo-advisor to everyone that has a credit card or any sort of line of credit has a credit score.
Yeah.
And can use credit assistance that's not a sketchy call this number for credit repair for $199.
Yeah.
We understand the use of that, and especially with the way that data and different monetary options, like, we can keep this free for consumers. But we understand that right now, we understand millennials because we are millennials. We understand how to target millennials and kind of give them the keywords of saying you won't need to do anything because they don't want to do anything. So we understand this market. We understand the problems that they're facing. And the one thing that I would like to add to that as well is based off of our research and our experience, we understand that this is more of a psychographic. So someone that's just watching TV, you know, or, you know, on, I guess now millennials don't really watch TV, so someone surfing through Twitter isn't going to see an ad for Crew, and, you know, majority of the time they'll kind of just wash by it. You know, there's got to be some sort of incentive to them. And so what we realized is the best place to target them is when they're transitioning. So we recognize it was more of a psychographic. So when they're looking to open up that first credit card or when they're looking to, they're graduating college, and, I mean, at that point you need to find somewhere to live for you to work. And so it's targeting them whether they got rejected or they're kind of going through these life transitions.
Okay. So there's two questions there as y'all are both answering that one. One of those is, how do you lazy is a strong word, although as we were talking about earlier, my product failed, and one of the reasons I think it failed is because it was complex, and people, I think, are to a certain extent lazy and didn't want to deal with complex.
So I would say retroactive. Yeah. I think retroactive is a lot of people will not really think about things until they really have to.
Yeah, and exactly. So how do you overcome that? How do you overcome that as you develop the product? And then you mentioned it earlier, as far as keep it free. So how do you get them to sign up, and how do you monetize it?
So they care. Well, so they're lazy. We'll call them lazy. Well, I don't even want to say lazy.
I'm lazy. When creating the concept for this idea, we were sitting at a whiteboard, and we were going to do exactly what Credit Karma was doing, but just targeting another demographic. We were going to educate and kind of centralize everything involved with credit. And then it really was a conversation where I said, wait, I am so lazy, I'm never going to go on this application. Because I, one, don't care enough to be educated and try and educate myself.
Yeah.
But two, just the idea, looking at my phone and what I have on my phone, none of those are educational platforms.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing on there that I am proactively trying to learn. And if I am, it has nothing to do with credit or my finances. And so it's like, I am comfortable telling myself that I am lazy.
Yeah.
And proactive sense. That's why I use the term retroactive. I will care about it when I have to care about it.
And I think millennials largely, they don't care about credit or their credit score until they care, which means until they want to get that house and they want to get that car, and ultimately credit comes up at all of these major life milestones, and either it's when they're planning on getting these things that they care, or it's when it hits them in the face with projection or a sky-high interest rate, and those are the two points that they care. So the way that we're targeting this is actually, we recently landed a partnership with the U.S. Department of Education.
Oh, wow.
Where we're piloting Kuru with eight different schools, eight different universities. And a few ways that we're looking at targeting this audience, so I mean, that's just one partnership on the side that's helping with distribution to give it towards underprivileged youth. So as they're kind of looking to go up like this ladder, they're finding the way out of poverty. This helps them for financial success, because like I mentioned, Kuru is related at these major life milestones.
Mm-hmm.
But targeting rejection, this is where we partner with apartment complexes and focus on housing success. So of course they want people to be able to get housing, and rather than just having them leave empty-handed after getting rejected like Ab or myself did, this is, you know, if you download this in 4 months, this is going to be able to get you approved. This is going to get you where you need to be.
Yeah.
And targeting them at rejection is a huge spot. Another one is just, you know, we found huge success in colleges on, like, focusing on financial literacy and students not really understanding that. So us being the experts in that, and, you know, we mentioned we're lazy earlier, but really it's, we took the time to thoroughly know it. We're certified credit counselors now. And we did a college roadshow that was largely successful and led to over 6,000 people signing up for access to Kuru. And students understand the importance, and given the chance, they are, and especially if they're planning for, if they're graduating soon, they're looking towards this transition, we're finding a lot of them being very engaged in this. So we did a college roadshow where we show up at different universities, you know, just expanding financial literacy, holding up a booth, and I mean, this was largely successful. So when they're looking to transition or when they get rejected is what we're looking at.
Yeah, and I would say, I mean, one thing that's also been hugely successful so far is inbound marketing.
Okay.
So writing blogs, content article, and then throwing those on. Generally, the most success will come from a LinkedIn or a question site like Quora. So posting that as an answer to someone that has a relevant question. So like, you know, what is the best card to open up first? If you go on our website, we wrote an entire blog about the best ways to look at opening up your first card and the cards you should be looking at. And so just kind of answering, oh, check out this cool article.
But yeah.
Like, low-key, I wrote that article. And so it brings people there. And so the best way that we can do it, and the way that we're facilitating this entire company in general, is just providing value.
Yeah.
Just providing value, and not just like shoving, you know, videos and things down people's faces. It's like, all right, this is the best way to learn. And so kind of balancing that off into the product, that's why we added the gamification portion to it. Because if we gamify credit and make we reward people instantly for good credit practices, then it becomes an active management and active learning platform. So as they're managing and, you know, getting the higher score, reaping the benefits of a higher, you know, credit score, they're also understanding this is how you properly build credit. And so, and what was the second question?
One was, how do you get people from being lazy? And then the second one was, how do you monetize it?
So for monetization, we have currently have a partnership with LendingTree.
Okay.
So we Kuru itself is free for users, because one thing between Credit Repair and what Kuru offers that's largely different is Credit Repair is largely counterintuitive. So, you know, they look to improve your credit score and you pay them for that, and often they'll have like a monthly fee thereafter to help you like get out of debt, right? Because, you know, stop the bleeding, put a Band-Aid on it, and let's help get you out of debt. Well, if they're charging you like $30 a month, but you don't have money, like, shouldn't that just be going towards your bills? So that's very counterintuitive, just a wrong model, and that's really why, I mean, with a bunch of other things, why Credit Repair is often looked as sketchy.
Yeah.
And just the incentives are improperly aligned. Where we face the same problem, our incentives are aligned with the customer, and I mean, that's with our mission. So Kuru will always be free for the user, and the way we monetize is by providing value to them. If they're looking, well, so first, connecting them to the best, to lowest interest financial products for them. So if they're looking at moving into an apartment, or they're looking at getting a car soon, well, you're going to see the absolute lowest interest rate that you can get for that car. And one thing that we're going to be looking at is, since we're improving our users' credit scores, what a 680 or 720 means for our users is different than a 720 for someone else, because this person has the trajectory. There's more behind that 720 than someone that just has a 720. So we're going to look at even getting more aggressive or lower interest rates for our users.
Okay.
And so adding value that way. And another way is simply connecting them to the best financial products for them. So if you spend a lot on groceries or you fly a lot, we're going to show you the best Air Miles card for you, the best rewards card for you. And only that, we're not going to give you the clutter of cards that are going to hurt your credit score, because other companies such as Credit Karma will let you sign up a million times. That's going to plummet your credit score. And so really, it's again, value first. We're going to connect you to financial products and make sure you're taken care of with them.
Yeah, and I want to make it clear that lead gen is a very proven business model. It's been done by the Credit Karmas and the Mints of the world.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're starting, because it's a great fit place for us to start.
Absolutely.
But we understand that there's also going to be benefit in us working directly with these credit-related purchases. So when someone that is applying for a house mortgage gets rejected, then what do they do? So what we're looking at doing, and what we've already began discussions with, like, apartment complexes and real estate agents, is when someone does not have the score enough to get approved for the loan they're looking for, then they give it to us. We automate their credit building and get them to where they need to be and send them back, and then we'll get a $500 to $1,000 referral fee.
Oh, wow. Awesome. Yeah.
And so not only do we get a new customer, but we get money for getting them to their financial goals, and we get them to their financial goals.
Yeah. No, so win-win-win, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Awesome. What's your pain point, right? So certainly, and I recognize it, and I know we're running short on time, so a couple more questions. Other than money, because we've already touched base on that, and it's a pain point for everybody, right? I mean, growing a company means new money needs to come in the door. So other than the money, what's the next pain point as far as getting to your next 12 months? And if in any way, shape, or form, how is QC FinTech helping you through that pain point? If it relates, and if it doesn't, then that's fine. But just one of the questions.
Ab might have a different answer than me. I struggle at answering it with the word choice of pain point. It's like the way I look at it. I mean, we focus on very few things. So, I mean, then at best I would call it a challenge, or what we're focused on, because I'm a firm believer. I mean, if something's your focus and that's all you're doing, then it's only a matter of time until you succeed at that one thing.
So I'm going to put it back in your terms. Then, what's your focus right now?
Okay, so I am focused on fundraising. So right now I'm reaching out to, you know, our network or community or supporters, and, you know, I'm looking to raise funds. So we have our deliverables ready. We recently, last week, we were in Charleston, South Carolina, and we placed first place during an investor pitch event, which, you know, was fantastic. And then we ended up getting put on the Forbes radio. So
that was
great as well. Yeah. Thank you. So, you know, selling this vision, making sure people resonate with our passion, and being able to, you know, succeed at raising these funds to continue to put the company in the best position possible. And then where that relates to our other team's goals. So our CTO is continuing to develop our product and apps continuing to define the product.
And so, so I focus primarily on exactly what this product is doing, the customer retention and the customer success, and kind of understanding what our market is looking for.
Yep.
So, and then beyond that, the branding, the marketing, and then, again, but my main focus currently at this exact moment is our product and getting our product out there.
So, go ahead.
Queen City has helped us with this, though, with just their expansive mentor list. So, after we had a kickoff event the first weekend, I mean, a week after that, they connected us with, so we were able to figure out, you know, who we meshed well with and who was interested in us, because we pitched to a group of maybe over 400 people. And there, we have a list of, maybe it's over 40 different mentors that we have direct connection emails with. And I mean, that ranges from anything from payments to UI to graphic design to pricing and assessment for evaluation. So everything that we've needed so far, we already have direct access to through our mentors.
Yep.
And people have even added on to that list of mentors that have just willingly chosen to, like, mentor for us. More than, I mean, we've even reached out to already, just because there's so many just largely helpful people. And that's been hugely helpful to, like, us on executing on these goals by having that expert on standby that we can reach out to when we need them.
Yeah, we've been here for 6 weeks. So if you were to ask me 6 weeks and one day ago what one of our biggest pain points would have been, or one of our biggest weaknesses would have been, I would have said a lack of experience. I would have said, you know, we're brand new entrepreneurs and, you know, we haven't been through this before. But then now we have gray hair in our network. Now we have gray hair in our advisory board, and people that are directly working with us and essentially acting as stakeholders, even though they are not.
Yep.
And so we've had essentially that lack of experience has definitely been made up for, and so I can't even consider that a weakness anymore.
So as we wrap up, program is a 12-month or 12-week program, but you're in it for 12 months. Will you stick around Charlotte, or for obvious save cash flow perspective, will you go back to the Maryland area, or will you look for another accelerator to continue to grow or to introduce you to new contacts, development, et cetera, or have you not quite figured that out yet?
We've considered ourselves refugees of the business now, because, again, we've left home to pursue it. So we're always going to be in the best place for the business to grow and where the business needs to be. And, again, currently that's Charlotte, and we anticipate that to be Charlotte after the program ends.
Okay.
It was kind of up in the air, and then I had Midwood Barbecue. And I was like, wait, you can't leave this state if the food is that good.
Yeah, fair enough.
And so, I mean, my direct answer to that is we are going to be in the best place and the best environment for this business to grow. And I don't think I see ourselves going back to Maryland.
Okay.
I think before we left and came here, we sort of made it clear that if we do end up going back to Maryland, then we didn't do something right.
Okay. Is there an apartment place next to Midwood Barbecue or not?
Yeah, we might just have to live there, honestly. Exactly. I've heard Obama's been there. So. Yeah.
Fair enough. Anything to add on that or no? Same kind of?
A large value of mine is creating the most powerful spaces, the most powerful environments, and that means being powerful in your own skin internally. That means being powerful in your bedroom, in your house. That means being powerful in your office. That means with Crew, creating a powerful financial environment for people. So what that means for our location and being in Charlotte is I 100% think we are more powerful being in Charlotte than we were in D.C., and that's why we wouldn't plan to go back towards D.C. Now, for whatever reason, there was an opportunity in D.C. that made it a more powerful place, and that would be a reason for adjusting. But as it currently stands, I plan to be at Charlotte for at least the next year. Charlotte is our powerful space. And moving forward, I mean, of course, we acknowledge New York and California.
Yep.
Personally, I'm not too large a fan of New York, but I do like California on the other hand. But I mean, everything, whatever's the best for the company, whatever is most powerful for the company and for us will be the place where we're at.
You were joking around earlier, college dropout. You know, you're 21. You know, throughout the course of the interview, you mentioned lazy, millennial. You mentioned all those things. So I'll tell you my perspective. You're not 21. So extraordinarily well put together. You've got a focus that you don't see in the average 21-year-old off the street. you might have said you're lazy, and maybe that exists in part of your lives, but I certainly didn't see it, and you're on a great trajectory. So thanks again for spending some time with me. Look forward to seeing you soon at Charlotte, pitching a Charlotte Angel Fund, and hopefully some of the other angel groups here in town, and certainly wish you the best of luck over the next 6 weeks and beyond. So thanks so much, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
So much,
to say anything. Thank you, Charlotte, for kind of welcoming us to your home and welcoming us to your community. It's been fantastic so far, and we look forward to growing with you guys.
So cool. Well, thanks so much.
Thank you.
I remain impressed with Dave and Ab. Clearly, they're smart, they're hardworking, and they're focused. I certainly wish them well with Kuru, and I know you do too. As hopefully you can tell, Dan Roselli and his team at QC FinTech continue to do amazing work for the future of Charlotte. Come on down to see them at their demo day, to see Kuru, and to see the other 11 classmates at their demo day on Wednesday, June 21st. For more information on how to register, please visit www.qcfintech.co. I've been the last 2 years to the demo day. I can tell you it's gotten better. It was good to start off with. It's gotten much better. I think this year will be fantastic. It's a neat, neat experience. It is awesome to see these young entrepreneurs, mostly young entrepreneurs, up present their company. And it's a fantastic way to show support for this group of entrepreneurs and the efforts that are going on here in Charlotte to build an entrepreneurial hub. Next week, we're going to continue our series of interviewing entrepreneurs as we talk with more QC FinTech founders. Once again, we'll have a two-part series with co-founders from three different companies: Justin Witz from Catapult, John Zettler from Commandiv, and Jason Aspiotis from Fincify. It's a great discussion amongst the three of them. It's nice to have the three of them in one room. Needless to say, I think you'll continue to be impressed with the quality of the companies that QC FinTech continues to bring to Charlotte. So please listen in next week, and don't forget, June 21st, Demo Day. Register at www.qcfintech.co. Thank you so much for listening to the Charlotte Angel Connection. William Bissett is an investment advisor representative with Seacrest Blakey & Associates, a registered investment advisor. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Seacrest Blakey & Associates. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Seacrest Blakey & Associates also does not offer legal or tax advice. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with the appropriate professional regarding your individual circumstance. Investments herein described may be speculative and may involve a substantial risk of loss. Interest may be offered only to persons who qualify as accredited investors under the Securities Act and a qualified purchaser as defined in Section 2A, 51A under the Company Act, or an eligible employee of the management company. There generally is no public market for the interest. Prospective investors should particularly note that many factors affect performance, including changes in market conditions and interest rates, and other economic, political, or financial developments. Past performance is not and should not be construed as indicative of future results.